Just turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 38 through 44. If you need a Bible, check under the seats in front of you. That's Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been dead 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth over his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you and look at your word this day, we just ask you to send your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Lord, to illuminate these scriptures and to show us the relevancy for today and the meaning of your word. Lord, sometimes we try to see things through the wisdom of the world, and Lord, we do not fully comprehend. So Lord, give us the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to understand. Now Lord, we pray for that same Holy Spirit to be here in power this morning as we seek prayer for those who are sick. As we seek after your leading and guiding, might you touch each of our hearts and direct us this morning. Lord, as we come to the communion table, that you would prepare our hearts for that. That we too might see the very glory of God this day. For that's what you told us. That we would see it. That if we would believe on you, you would show us your glory. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your unselfish sacrifice on the cross for our sins, so that we could be covered with your righteousness, our sins forgiven and our relationship with the Father restored, and that the kingdom of God could be made manifest through the Holy Spirit living in our lives and in our heart and empowering us for works of service in your name. So Lord, we give you the glory this and every day. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would take the grave clothes off our face and off our body. That you would remove the stone that's between us and you. And that you would call out and bring healing to us mind, body, and spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take away the stone. Now, the tombs back then, you need to remember, were basically small caves. And they would chisel them out if they had to, or some of them were natural. But it wasn't like you go to the cemetery and there's a, you know, something, there'd been a hole in the ground and we put somebody in a box and we put dirt over the top of them and then we put, stick something in the ground over the top. That's not the way that they buried the people back then. They used caves, holes in the side of a hill. So dig it out, make like a bed or a shelf kind of on there, and that's where they laid the body out. And then they would cover up that hole. They didn't have a door on it because it wasn't made for people to go in and out of on a regular basis. They didn't want anybody else to go in there after the body, somebody was buried. Now they would reuse them. They would use the same grave multiple times. Different people would be buried. The family grave might have multiple people buried in there. But you just didn't want anybody coming and going at any old time. So, plus you didn't want animals, scavenger animals, to go in there. This was your loved one. You just don't set their remains out to be picked at by birds and nibbled on by critters. So, they would put a big old honking rock in front of that door. And a big enough one so that just one person coming along couldn't easily move it. I mean, yeah, you could get a lever and kind of move it out of the way, quite possibly, but they used big rocks. And this is very similar, if you would. This is also a foretelling of what's going to happen with Jesus. And the rock that was put in front of his tomb was a big rock. It would have taken a couple people to move. Well, the rock that goes in front of this tomb, that was the standard practice. Big rocks. Now, what was different with Jesus was it was sealed. They put a seal on it to show that, so that it could be shown whether or not somebody had opened it or not. And then, of course, the Roman guards. But here, in this instance, we have just Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who's been laid in a tomb, dead 4 days. Now, how many of you have found something that's been dead 4 days? Wasn't pleasant. Was it? No. Even if you wrap it in cloths and you would perfume it, put perfume on the body, in 4 days, what you have is smelly perfume. Even if the perfume doesn't cover up the odor, the oils, the spices that have been put on the body don't negate the smell. What you have is smelly stuff. A bad smelling smell stuff. Like rancid perfume. Very bad. Now remember, the temperatures there are also very warm. Warmer than what we are generally used to here. It's going to be cooler in the cave than it is out in the sun. But trust me, it's still going to get plenty warm in the cave. And when a body of any type, it's warm, what happens? It decays. When it decays, there's an odor. That's what they're talking about here. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Jesus tells him, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? See, earlier when he showed up there, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's talking about the glory of God. Living forever, going to be in His presence forever. Be with God for eternity. That's an option. What do you have to do to get that option? Believe on Jesus for salvation. Not intellectual assent that Jesus came from God. Satan believes that. He knows it. But receiving him as Lord and Savior, that kind of belief, belief that comes from, that's action. He said, if you do that, even if you die, you won't be dead. You won't actually die. You'll go to be with me. But yet here we have a dead body of a man who was a friend of Jesus. See, well, he hadn't yet, at this point, been resurrected from the dead himself. He hadn't yet had the ultimate victory over death. So he said, let me show you. And they rolled away the stone from the tomb. And there was a bad odor that came out. Then he spoke so that the rest of the people would know that he was talking to God. He had a conversation with God. He prayed. He said, Lord, I know you hear me, but I'm talking to you so that the rest of the people here would know to give you the glory. Okay. He wanted them to make sure that they know that his Father in heaven was the one who was directing and guiding all that was going on. Jesus wasn't doing this on a whim. He was doing it because the Father was directing him. This is what I want you to do. And even though this man had been dead and decaying 4 days in the grave, he said, Lazarus, come out. And we notice in the Scripture it says, the dead man came out. Dead man. Now, kids in horror flicks, they talk about zombies coming out. You know, I've seen the cheap mummy movies, you know, got this guy wrapped up with claws. That's not what happened. He was wrapped up in the claws, but he didn't come out going, he came out fully alive. Nothing wrong with him. The decayed body and flesh was no longer decayed. It had been healed. That which had caused him to die had been repaired. We don't know what it was that caused him to be ill, but we knew that he had been ill. He said that he'd fallen sick. That was the message that had been sent to Jesus by his sisters, by Lazarus' sisters. The one whom you love is sick. Come quickly. A couple days later, Jesus packed up and came, but he'd already been dead for 4 days. And he cried because he knew and shared their pain at his death. Even though he knew that he was just minutes away from restoring their lost brother to them. He said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The dead man came out. See, Jesus shows that he has authority even over death. What had he done previously? He healed the lame, a man who was born lame. He did one of those. He did a man who had been born blind. I mean, they never heard of such a thing. Somebody who had been born blind, given sight when he's an adult. I mean, not even a young child, but an older man. Other instances, we're told of him removing demons from people. Some people who were so possessed by demons they would try to kill themselves. They'd been throwing their body into the fire to try to kill themselves. And Jesus remove those demons. He showed time and again, every instance, he showed that he had mastery over the mind, over the body, over the spirit, over life, and even over death. The statement that was made time and again before when Jesus arrived by each of the sisters and by the people before he went to the grave was, if he'd been there, he wouldn't have died. Well, that's true. If Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have died. But Lazarus had died for the distinct purpose of Jesus able to show his mastery over death. Not only is he dead, oh, he died an hour ago, 5 minutes ago, how long ago? We have instance where Paul goes and throws himself on the body of a young man who is said that he's dead. He fell out of the window. Remember the boy who fell out of the window? Paul throws himself on, they haul him back up the stairs, put him on the bed, and Paul throws himself on, kicks everybody out, and prays, throws his own body on him, and he says, I don't know, maybe he's performing CPR. Maybe he's mouth to mouth. Maybe he wasn't really all the way dead. Well, here he is 4 days dead and decaying. There's no question about whether he's dead or not. And Jesus shows his mastery over death. That there's nothing that is not subject to his word, his command. Nothing. That is the very glory of God. But there was something that Jesus asked for before he did that command. He asked that he said, take away the stone, that the stone be removed from the front. There was a barrier between Jesus and Lazarus. Now, I don't want to put too much into this, but that barrier needed to be removed. Because Jesus could have spoke, Lazarus be healed. And Lazarus would have been healed. But Lazarus still would have been in the tomb. Not a pleasant experience. It's dark. It stinks. There's no food, no light, and no way for him to get out. He just would have died again. He needed the stone to be rolled away. Not so that his prayer would be effective and so that his power would be effective, but that so that Lazarus could indeed come out of the tomb. He didn't have to stay in the grave. Sometimes we have a tendency to stay in the grave. Sometimes we downright jump into the grave. Maybe you've seen people like that or been like that yourself. We become comfortable there. We say, well, that's right. Or maybe we think there's something wrong with us, that's where we ought to be. But sometimes the Lord takes something away from us. We ask for healing. And He does. He takes it away, but we don't move out of it. We don't move on. It's like the alcoholic who is forgiven, has his drinking taken away from him, and then goes sits in the bar. And then starts drinking again eventually. Might be a week later, a year later, 10 years later. And you say, well, gee, I thought the Lord took this away from me. Now here I am, he went back, jumped back in the grave. That's an illustration of that. Sometimes we do that with our illnesses, with our emotional hurts. You know, again, the Lord will heal emotional, physical, spiritual. Remember, the Lord says, roll away the stone, come out, take off the grave clothes, those things that you're all wrapped up in. Take that aside and leave it there and go on. Walk with me is what he's saying. Come with me. Now, there's another lesson about prayer and healing that I want to touch on briefly before we move into communion in our healing service. There's the story of the persistent widow who goes continually to the judge. Time after time. And the judge isn't afraid of this woman. She has no real authority or power. But just her persistence is such that he eventually rules in her favor and gives her what it is she is asking for. Just because she's persistent. Because she keeps coming and asking. And Jesus tells us that in prayer we are to be like that persistent widow. Where we have a desire, we have something we want. God tells us that we are to keep coming to Him in prayer time and time and time and time again. Until He says, I've answered your prayer. Here's your answer. Until He says, it's taken care of. Until then, we're just supposed to be like that persistent widow and keep seeking after what it is. We're not to stop and are seeking after Him and His answer for our prayer. So that, take away the stone. What's the barrier between you and God right now? What's keeping you from praying? What's keeping you from accessing God's blessing? Take it away. Put it away. Roll it up to the side. Maybe you confess that to God. Maybe you need to confess that to somebody else. If it's a sin against somebody else, you need to confess it to them. I'm not telling you have to come up here and confess to me all your sins. I don't want that. I don't want to confess to God. Don't confess to me. Take your sins, give them to God. He's the one. Now, if you sinned against me, I need to give you forgiveness. But first of all, when you sin against God. If I sinned against you, I need to go to you and say, I did this. Take those rocks that we have in our life, those things that are keeping us from moving in God's blessing, move them aside. Okay, we've done that. We're going to do that when we take communion. We confess them to God in prayer. Say, Lord, as we take communion, we just ask that you, we take that time. Say, Lord, these sins that I have in my life, I just give them to you. And He takes them. Then just listen for God's voice as we pray. Follow His leading. And pray God's will. And then take off the grave clothes. Let Him go. Then we remove the rock. God brings healing. When God brings the healing, the stuff that was tied up in our lives that went with the illness needs to be set aside. Whether that was an illness or relationship, whether it's emotional, physical, psychological, whatever, God can bring healing for all of it. We need to take those grave clothes, which were necessary for when we were in the grave, but are no longer necessary. Set them aside. Then follow Him. Walk with Him.